Thank you very much indeed. Atlantic Magazine runs a feature every month called The Big Question. And this month, the big question is, what day most changed the course of history? What day would you pick? Here are some of the answers that various eminent people gave to that question in this magazine. The day the driver of Franz Ferdinand's carriage took a wrong turn, leading to the Archduke being shot and two world wars. Or the day that Gutenberg finished his first wooden printing press. Or the day in 1983 when Michael Jackson first performed his moonwalk on television. I kid you not. The answer the Bible would give without hesitation is the day 2,000 years ago when a man was executed outside Jerusalem. It's a day which didn't even make it onto that magazine list, but it is definitely the day which changed most the course of history. And it may be that at the moment you're someone who finds that claim rather puzzling, even if you are prepared to admit maybe it's got the edge over Jackson's moonwalking. You know, how can a public execution be so significant? The cross on which Jesus was killed has become for Christians what the golden arches are for McDonald's, or the Nike swoosh has become for Nike. It's their logo that they proudly display everywhere. But why? The answer is found in two animals which feature in Handel's Messiah and which we've just heard sung to us. One of the joys of YouTube is you can go back and watch old clips of TV series from when you were a kid. I don't know if you remember the rise and fall of Reginald Perrin. I was watching a clip the other day. Whenever his mother-in-law is mentioned, the picture switches to a clip of a hippopotamus sort of lumbering across the mudflats. And for the record, my mother-in-law is a wonderful person. But we often compare people with animals, don't we? We say, well, you know, he's as strong as an ox, or she's as wise as an owl, as cunning as a fox, as busy as a bee. Or negatively, we say, well, she's as stubborn as a mule, or he's as mad as a March hare, as slippery as an eel, as greedy as a pig, as blind as a bat, as proud as a peacock. Which animal would you compare yourself to? What are you most like? Here's what the Bible says about us. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. All these texts in Handel's Messiah are verses from the Bible, and this is one of them. It's taken from the prophet Isaiah. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. When we talk about people behaving like sheep, the point is that they tend to just do what everyone else is doing. You know, they don't think for themselves, they just follow the flock. And the Bible would say that is true, that spiritually we do tend to just go with the flow of those around us without thinking. But the particular point of comparison here is that sheep go astray. We all, like sheep, it says, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And I guess that's why the hills of England are crisscrossed with stone walls, because sheep have a tendency to wander off. I guess that's why you need sheep dogs, because sheep tend to just do their own thing. And the Bible says that spiritually we are like that. That instead of going God's way, we've wandered off and we've gone astray, and we have turned to our own way. And we all do it. We do it as a human race, we do it as individuals. And it's what the Bible calls sin. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We say, I know best. I'll run my life as I see fit. I don't need someone else telling me what to do. Thank you very much. We ignore the voice of the shepherd of God in the Bible, and we do our own thing. Now, this going our own way has consequences, serious consequences, deadly ones. You know, when you're out walking on the hills, sometimes you come across a few bones and some fluffs of wool in the grass. It's what's left over after a fox has finished his lunch of sheep with a side salad of grass. Wandering off as sheep's a dangerous thing. And that is all the more true with us. That turning from going God's way to going our own way leads only to one place, and that is death. Spiritually, physically, eternally, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so going our own way, it might feel like the ultimate break for freedom, as I'm sure it must do for Sean the sheep as he squeezes through that gap in the stone wall, but it is actually the ultimate folly. If I went to a life coach or if I picked up a self-help book, I'd be told what an amazing person I am and I'd feel even taller than I currently am. But God is not into flattery. He tells us how it is. We're like sheep. Yes, on the one hand, we're amazing because he made us, but we've become like sheep. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. It is not a diagnosis we like to hear. When our youngest was 2 years old, and forgive me if you've heard this story already, it's one of my favourites, but when he was 2 years old, we were trying to potty train him, and my wife found him one day in the living room with his trousers around his ankles and his legs soaking wet, and he was standing in this pool of piddle. And my wife said to him, "Nelson," which is his name, "Nelson, have you piddled?" And without missing a beat, he looked at her and he said, "No, Daddy did it." And it's a reaction that many of us have to God when he says that we've sinned and we've gone our own way. We say, "It's not my fault. Someone else is to blame." Or perhaps we react like another Nelson, Lord Nelson, who, as he lay dying, said to his doctor, "Doctor, I have not been a great sinner. Thank God I have done my duty." And isn't that how many of us think? You know, sure, I may not have gone God's way, but I'm not a great sinner either. And I've done my duty, an upright citizen. And I'm sure God, if he's there, he will accept me. But he won't, and he can't. We have gone our own way, and God cannot just turn a blind eye to it. Sin has to be judged. The Bible says we're on the path of death, spiritually, physically, eternally. What hope is there? Well, the only hope is to be found in the other animal in Handel's Messiah. Behold, we've just heard sung, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It's taken from John's Gospel, the words of John the Baptist as he saw Jesus coming towards him. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God. What associations does a lamb have in your mind? Perhaps spring, you know, sunshine and little lambs frisking around and leaping in the fields. Perhaps not, given spring has been cancelled this year. For me, lamb means roast leg of with mint sauce. In the Bible, lamb means sacrifice. In the Old Testament, God's people deserved to die for going their own way, but God accepted the death of an animal. A bull, a goat, a lamb in place of the people. Well, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the ultimate sacrifice God has provided for us. The one that all these animal sacrifices pointed towards and foreshadowed. So when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible tells us he was dying in our place. He took on himself our wrongdoing, our sin, our going our own way, and he paid for it. It was something that the prophet Isaiah foretold some 800 years before Jesus was born. He said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." My wife got a parking fine. Again, this is a story from our family I love to tell. She got a parking fine and she left the car on a yellow line at school pickup. And she got a bit delayed, arrived back to find this traffic warden putting a ticket on the windscreen. And she explained she'd been delayed because our oldest son has got special needs and he just wouldn't come. And the traffic warden could see a predicament and said, you know, he was sorry. But in the end he said, "Look, I wish I could do something, but I can't. You know, once the ticket's been written, that's it. I can't undo it." But what he could have done was to pay the 60 quid fine himself. That would have been nice. Bible says God is holy, he's just, he can't ignore our wrongdoing, going our own way, he can't just rip up the ticket. If justice is not done, then morally God has no right to rule. But in the person of Jesus, the Son of God, God has entered our world. And in the death of Jesus, God, if you like, has taken out his own wallet and he's paid the penalty for us at enormous cost to himself so that we don't have to. There is no other way that sin, our sin, can be dealt with and taken away. One article about the Jimmy Savile scandal was reflecting on the fact that on the one hand, there you've got a guy who apparently gave away 90% of his wealth. But on the other hand, all these horrific abuse allegations. And the article talked about other philanthropists, so men who had dedicated their lives to charity, but who had also been corrupt. And someone had said this about one of them who had done very public walks for leukemia. He thinks that doing one good big thing cancels out all the little bad things. And the article ended by saying, maybe the rest of us are no different. It is how many people think, isn't it? Okay, I'm far from perfect, but God will see the good things that I've done, and that will cancel out all the bad stuff. It doesn't work like that. If it did, why would God have bothered with the Jesus bit? Only the Lamb of God can take away our sin and deal with it. Wouldn't you want him to take away yours? Seems like a no-brainer, doesn't it? Why wouldn't you want him to take away yours? Well, sometimes perhaps we think that God is wanting to take away our fun and our freedom. He's actually wanting to take away our sin and the judgment that deserves. And he's wanting to give us forgiveness and hope and his Holy Spirit and eternal life. It's not a bad exchange. And it takes place when we accept what God has done for us in the death of his Son. Tomorrow morning, the bin man will come to our house, and the bin man will wheel away our rubbish. At least they will if I remember to put the rubbish bin out. Otherwise, it'll sit in our house. It's the same with our sin. It's the same with the judgment that deserves. That I need to wheel out the bin. I need to actually say to God, I want you to take this away. I want you to deal with this. How do you do that? God is only a prayer away, and it's really very simple. It's as simple as two animals. It's as simple as recognizing what I am like and saying sorry, and recognizing what Jesus is like and saying thank you. It's as simple as saying to God, look, I recognize that I am like a sheep. I've gone my own way. I deserve death for that. I'm sorry, and I want to start going your way. And I also recognize that Jesus is the Lamb who died for me, for my sin, in my place. And I thank you for that. And when you pray that, that great exchange takes place. And that day, 2,000 years ago, becomes the day which changed not just the course of history, but the course of your history, of your life, both now and beyond the grave and forever.